is available to them at different stages. So while my 12-year-old gets a little more freedom than my 4-year-old, where's he, 5 now? Hold Silas. I got a lot of 5. Somebody knows. Thank you, church, for I got a lot of kids. So my 5-year-old doesn't think it's fair, right? But you let Gideon go to the park by himself. I'm like, yeah, he's 12. You're 5. You don't get to go to the park by yourself. That's not fair. You know what your grandma taught me? Passing on this wisdom to you, son. Life's not fair. If you want life to be fair, I'm sorry. It went out the window in Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered into the world, fairness went out the window. So yes, there are going to be people who are more advantaged than you in life. There are also going to be people who are less advantaged of you. We have to stop comparing the things God has given us to other people and what God has given them. As long as we're putting an ER, an er, on the end of things, we're not going to be happy. Well, they're smarter than me. Well, they're prettier than me. Well, they're skinnier than me. Well, they're balder than me. Nobody uses that as one, okay. However that works, right? We add the ER into things. And if you're adding an ER, you're never gonna be satisfied with what God's given you. We have to look at what God's given us and not compare ourselves to others. Let me give you a real practical example of my life. I'm a church planter. We moved to an area to start a church in my living room. I got a friend, Matt Oxley, preaches at Marine Creek Church, preaches the gospel, great preacher, great guy. He also was a church planter. A couple months ago, God gave him about $1 million worth of property and land and a building on 820. And I'd driven by that place often and prayed, Lord, I'd love to be there. Lord, that would be great. Why don't you, I'd love to take that. If you're not going to do anything, Lord, with it. And he gave it to Matt. So I could, every time I drive by that building, be bitter about what's going on, right? I could be like, oh, God, I can't believe you gave that to Matt. Is it because he's holier than me? Is he a better prayer than me? I mean, I got more kids than him. Like, I got foster kids. You should love me more. I'm taking care of orphans, Jesus. Come on. Why didn't you give me that building? Or every time I could drive by it, I could pray for Matt and be excited for the opportunities God's given him. I've chosen to be excited for Matt. I had to work through it a little bit, I admit. You know, I was a little bit like, come on, Lord. All right? And so I had to pray about it. But Lord, now I pray for Matt. I pray for Marine Creek because they are a Bible-preaching, gospel-believing church who is reaching the community for Christ. I love them. We're not in competition. I am excited about what God's given them. It would be easy to compare and go, God, you have given them a 10-talent building. And then a couple months later, God opens this up for us. And we could walk in here and go, just don't look up till you get to about the middle of the building, okay? That's why we don't look at the ceiling. Just wait till you walk to the middle. Then you can look up. If you sit in the back, worship with your eyes closed and look up, okay? There's water stains on the ceiling. There's issues. My mother-in-law spent 2 hours on her hands and knees scrubbing grease out of the children's area. I waited to tell you that till after you sent your kids over there, so you're welcome for that. All right, it's cleaned, it's bleached, it's had paint on it. People have been doing an amazing work up here and sweating for Jesus for the last 2 weeks. And I could look at this and go, God, you've only given me 1-talent building. Or I could say, God, you've given us a building. 11 o'clock service. We don't have to tear down after this. We will find out what it's like to go to lunch before 1 o'clock. We're going to have to fight with the Methodists today about seats. It's going to be awesome, right? We are excited about these opportunities. God, thank you for this. This is a stewardship. This is a responsibility. This is a gift and a blessing, and we are not going to bury it in the ground. We are going to use it for the glory of Christ our King. Now, personally, on a personal level, husbands, your wife is a gift. She is a blessing. You need to wake up and thank God every morning that he put her in your life. God gave me a 10 with bad eyesight, right? I mean, she married me. She is gorgeous. She is awesome. I am blessed beyond belief to have that woman in my life. And usually I remember that. Every now and then there's that, why me, Lord? A little more often probably on her aspect. Wives, your husband's a gift. Parents, your children are gifts. They drive you crazy sometimes, but if you go in while they're asleep, aren't they just cute and angelic? They're so awesome when they're sleeping. They are blessings. They are a stewardship God has given us. God has given most of us a job in here, a place to work, an opportunity to share faith. He's put us in a house, in a neighborhood for a reason. He's even stuck you with the weird family members in your family as a gift. Even Uncle Bill, especially Uncle Bill. God's got a plan for your weird uncle, and you're a part of it. We have to look at what God's given us and be thankful for it rather than to be upset about it. When we start comparing our lives, our marriage, our family, our financial situation to other people, there is always going to be somebody that's ahead of us. Always. We never compare ourselves to people living in the slums. Lord, why'd you give me so much more than those people in Africa that live in huts? Nobody's like that. We're like, Lord, why didn't you let me live in that neighborhood? My car's 14 years old, Lord. You know, it's barely holding on. Why can't I get a new car? Those are the questions we ask. We have to stop comparing. God has given you what you require to get done what he wants done in this world. And as we work hard, as we serve him, as we honor him with those things, this is what the Bible says. This is not health and wealth gospel. This is what the Bible says. As we honor him, as we do well, he will trust us with more. Just like my children, right? A little bit of responsibility at a time. See how they do that. If they're faithful, if they're good, if they come home on curfew, right? Get a little more responsibility. A little more responsibility. Whoops, too much, right? I mean, we can't, you know, like, okay, we're learning where the line is. We're growing. We're maturing. That's what God is doing in our lives. So we have to stop this dangerous snare of compare. God has given you amazing things. Now, as we look at this, here's a principle that's taught in this story. God measures our faithfulness by multiplication. God is calling us to multiply whatever he's given us for his kingdom, for his namesake, for his glory, for his honor. It is not so we can retire in Tahiti, but if any of you do, I'd love to visit. Okay, that's not the plan of what God's given us these resources for. God has given us the ability to multiply for his kingdom. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Multiplication. So he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, here's what that phrase means, right? This is a lifetime. A long time is a lifetime. Our generation is like, well, we want it now. Can we finance it now and pay for it later? After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. I have multiplied it. And his master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. And he also had 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, I have multiplied it. And he said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the rest of your master. Here's what I'm living my life for. To hear Jesus say, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. It doesn't matter how big my bank account is. It doesn't matter how large my 401k is. It doesn't matter how big and how many square feet my house is or how new or old my car is and whether I still have some of those square TVs in my house, not the rectangle ones, you know, the giant, bulky ones that you can't hang on a wall. That's not the issue. I am living my life to hear Jesus say, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because newsflash for us. I just want to let you on in this. Nothing else matters. At the end of our lives, the only thing we're going to want to hear is the King of Glory say that to us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Multiplication is the principle of faithfulness. I don't know how you think about faithfulness when you think about God. How am I faithful to God? Well, I keep the commandments. I mean, the ones I can remember. I haven't killed anybody today, right? I mean, I'm pretty faithful, no murder. Didn't commit adultery today. It's been a good day. Yeah, I've done that. Faithfulness. Lord, I went to a church that has a Greek name. You got to give us some extra credit for that, right? Kaleo is a weird name. I went there. I know you love Greek. Some of the Bible's written in that. What do we measure faithfulness in? God measures it as this, multiplication. Multiplying his kingdom for his glory, not for our benefit. not for our bank accounts, not for our fame or our book deals, but multiplying his kingdom for his glory. That's the issue. We have to multiply it. Aren't you so glad that the Bible, the command of Jesus isn't this: go and learn Greek and Hebrew so you can parse phrases and translate words. Go and do every Beth Moore study that's ever been written. Go and attend church 5 times a week. What does Jesus tell us to do? Go and make disciples. Right? Now, all those things aren't bad in themselves, but if we're making them the main thing, we're missing what God's calling us to do. He has called us to multiply our influence, to multiply the opportunities we have, to multiply the kingdom of God, to push back the kingdom of darkness. We are called to multiply. If you're a parent and you're sharing your faith with your children, that is your responsibility. But that's not multiplication, that's addition. Right? You know, we are expected to share our faith with our children. Jesus said, even bad parents love their kids. So that's an expectation. But when we look at the kids in our kids' class that are always in trouble, say, man, we're going to be friends with their family. Because their kids are hoodlums and they need Jesus. And we're going to love them to Jesus' kingdom. That's when you start multiplying. You bring other families into the kingdom of God. For those of you who have gone to school with my kids and I've invited you, that's not your children. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? Not your kids. They're all good. But what we're talking about is just figuring this out. We are not called to have transfer growth from other churches. That may be a small portion of what comes into this church, but if we have more people transferring to our church from other churches than we do from the surrounding community, we're failing as a church. Zero. No faithfulness. We have to share our faith with other people. That's what multiplication is. If you're not multiplying, if you're a Christian and nobody likes you, you may need to reexamine some things in your life. Because people like Jesus. You know who like Jesus? Prostitutes. Sounds almost sacrilegious to say, right? Prostitutes like Jesus. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. Yep. Drunk people. Tax collectors. Those are the people Jesus hung out with. People who were far from God, Jesus came to make close. If all your friends are Christians, you are an incredibly boring, one-sided person. And I say that in love and in compassion, but I'm not good at compassion. So I say it in love, all right? You need to get some new friends. You need friends who are different than you for the sake of the kingdom of God, for multiplication. You need to find someone who acts different than you, looks different than you, cusses like a sailor, or if you're the one that cusses like a sailor, speaks very clean and doesn't use cuss words. Whatever it is, find different people in your life so that you can minister to. That is multiplication. That is the calling of God on our lives. And so often we're like, okay, well, this is a sprint. I want to multiply right now. God, let them get saved right now. That's not what we're talking about. He said, after a long time, the master came back, right? I'm friends with people who I've been friends with for years, and they're still not Christians. There are people who have given money to this church for us to start it that are not Christians. But because we're friends, they've donated to this church. They may never become Christians. I pray for them. I want them to be. But that's not why I'm a friend with them. I'm not a friend to get something out of it. I'm a friend because I represent Jesus. Friend of sinners. Friend of mine. So I need to be a friend to people. There's wisdom and there's parameters. And if you're a kid, if you're a teenager in this place, your parents are going to throw some parameters up and be like, no. Not friends with him. My daughter's on the front row. Never friends with him, all right? Just stay away from boys altogether. Minister to girls. You know, that's what we want. But, you know, as parents, we're responsible to put some parameters on that. But as adults, we have to be about the process of multiplication because that's what God calls faithfulness. You're like, Pastor, but I'm just not very good at sharing my faith. That's okay. That's not a problem because not everybody is. I'm not really good at sharing my faith. I mean, I kind of stand up here and get a platform, so it gives me some freedom, but I don't just walk up to people in Starbucks and be like, hey, if you were to die today, do you know for certain you'd go to heaven? If you don't, you're probably going to hell. You think that coffee's hot? Think how hot hell is. That would be weird, right? That's not how I roll. I'm not going to do that because it would be odd and awkward. That's not what the Bible's calling us to do. Jesus never started with hell. He started with friendship, and he built it and worked from there. So we want to invest in people for a long time so that they can come to know God and understand who God is. We're going to finish this last point, and we'll wrap up. Poor managers blame outside factors. He also had received one talent, came forward saying, trying to get the dirt off this thing, right? Hey, Jesus, Lord, Master, you gave me one talent, and I know you're mean. I'm paraphrasing. This is Russell's Greek translation. You're kind of a jerk. You get angry pretty easily, and you scare me. And so I hid this in the ground, and I'm giving it back to you. We're square. We're done. And so here's the truth. If your plan for multiplication is having a money tree in your backyard, my backyard, it has great soil for money trees. So please come and bury it in my backyard, all right? That would be great. But that's not what God's plan was. And it takes incredible B to the alls to stand before God and say, this is really your fault. Pastor Chris, you see what I did there? B to the alls. That way I didn't say balls from church. It was just, nobody appreciates that. Okay. It takes an amazing amount of cojones to say, God, you know, I would have shared with people the plan of salvation, but it's kind of weird. Couldn't you have found a better way? I mean, we're talking about guy coming back to life, and I know The Walking Dead may be a good intro into that because of pop culture, but it was too awkward, Lord. If you would come up with a better way, I would have shared my faith more. You know, Lord, I would have invited people to church, but the people I go to church with, they're kind of weird. And so I didn't invite these people because I don't want them to get weirded out by church people. Lord, if your people weren't so weird, I would invite people to church. If you're not comfortable inviting people to your church, you need to find a new church. Period. If you're not comfortable inviting people to this church, this ain't the right church for you. I love you, and I'm saying that 100% true. Find a church that you believe in and say, man, I will invite my friends, my family members, because they will be loved and they will hear the gospel. And then it's up to the Holy Spirit at that point to figure out what to do with them and what they have to respond to Jesus. And so poor managers blame outside factors. Well, you know, my dad wasn't really a very good spiritual leader in the home, so I don't know how to be it, so I'm just not gonna do that. You're a grown-up. Learn. Well, you know, my mom was pretty strong-willed. That whole Bible submitting to each other and Jesus, and, you know, I'm just not going to do that. You're a grown-up. Learn how to do it. Learn how to apply the principles. That's what the church is here to help you with. That's what community groups are here to help you with so that you can grow in faith and maturity. See, the truth is our treasure is not measured in dollars. A lot of times we get confused and think it is, or in influence, or in people listening to me and political intrigue and that. I love Marine Creek. I love what God's given them over there. I would not trade places with Matt in 100 years. You know why? Because it's not about a building. It's about people. This is the treasure. You're the treasure. We've had people up here sweating for 2 weeks. We have people in here sweating right now. But for 2 weeks, right, that have been in here trying to get this place in shape that we could have worship in here, that have been sweating, that have been cleaning, that have been painting, that have been bleaching, that have just come up and waved and driven off. We love you too. We've enjoyed that. Byron's in the back. Everyone needs to give a round of applause to Byron. All right? I love you. It is the first one. Every time I was here working, he was here working, and a lot of times I wasn't here working, he was here working. And so, man, MVP of everything that's gotten done here goes to Byron this last couple weeks. I appreciate that. Here's the thing. It's not about dollars. It's about people. We have been gifted from God the place and the people to reach this community. Done. I don't know how. I don't know where. Chris and I are strategizing. We're strategizing. It's a George W. kind of reference there. We've been doing that thing where you talk and put things on calendar. We've been doing that. And we're going to try to figure out how to best minister to this community. Why? Because Jesus loves everybody in this community. Why? Because this, as of last week, was a place where there was no praises to God being offered up. And this week it is full of shouts to King Jesus saying, Lord, you are worthy of our stewardship. I'm not very good at sharing or inviting. Man, how are you at pushing a lawnmower? Because now we got a lawn we got to mow, right? I'll just let the teenagers do it. No, come on, guys. We got to be examples, right? I need people that can mow lawns. I need people that can clean toilets for the glory of Jesus. Because we got to keep this place up, right? That's got to happen. Todd, who was up here, he was the short old guy that was singing. Talk to him. He's arranging these teams. He's not in here right now, so I can make fun of him. I said midget in the first series, and he got offended. It's little person, but I wasn't even talking about him, so I don't know. Poor Todd. Is he here? Oh, he is here. I'm just going off on him. Hey, everybody. Todd, stand up on the pew so people can see you. I'm so sorry, man. I'm just a jerk. I apologize. Anyway, talk to Todd. He's arranging teams. We're going to get this going. I need someone to show up at 8 o'clock every Sunday and make coffee. Because if nobody shows up next Sunday, there's not going to be any coffee. All right? We need that. We need people to hold babies, to love babies in the name of Jesus, to change poopy diapers for the glory of God. Nobody raised their hand to volunteer for that. All right, close your eyes, bow your heads. We're going to pray and wrap up here. Here's the truth as we end this and our band's coming forward, nobody's looking around. We all need help with stewardship. We all need the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to push us, to help us, to make us recognize those opportunities and do better. So as we pause here in this place, I just want to ask, for those of you who would like prayer, and say, you know, Russell, I want to be better in the stewardship of everything God's given me. Will you just pray for me? Would you just put your hands up? We're just going to do a time of prayer for those who are bold enough to say, God, I want your leadership. I see hands going up in this place. Father, for those who are brave enough to raise their hand to say, Spirit, I need you to teach me. I need you to help me. I need you to guide me. Whether it's with my wife, whether it's my husband, whether it's with my children or my job or my house or my church. Lord, I need you to show me how to be a good steward so that at the end of my life, I stand before you and you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, let that be me. Let that be those who raise their hands. May we leverage everything you have given us for the kingdom of God. May we multiply beyond our families those who will sing praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, with every eye closed and every head bowed here in this place, we believe this 100%, that God became man and dwelt among us. That God so loved the earth, loved the world, that he gave his only son, that anyone who would come to him would experience eternal life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be part of God's family. Your sins will be forgiven. You will have an eternal address in heaven, and God will walk with you here on this earth. If there is anyone here who would like to say, Pastor, for the first time, I want that in my life. I want to trust Jesus. I want to follow him. Would you just raise your hand? Let me see those so I can pray for you. See a hand going up. Thank you. Thank you, sir. See hands up in the air. Father, here in this place, we bow before you and say, Lord, we need you. We need your help. Lord, for those who raised their hands and said they want to be part of the family of God, I pray that you let them know that if they believe and if they trust, that's all it takes to be part of your family. You don't care for us to jump through religious hoops. You want us, and you've made every effort through your son, Jesus, to draw us into the family. And so, Lord, for those who raise their hand, today is a day of birth. Today is a day where they can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are pleased with them and love them because what you have done through Jesus. Father, we love you, we worship you, and we give you all honor and glory for the things that happen here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to stand on your feet. We're going to sing this last song. I'm going to be standing in the back with Pastor Todd and Cindy.